यदि ह्यहम् नवारथेयम् जानि कर्मान् यथान्द्रितः मम वर्तमानुवर्तन्ते मनुष्या परत सर्वशः. For if I ever fail to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In order to keep the balance of social tranquility for progress in spiritual life, there are traditional family usages meant for every civilized man. Although such rules and regulations are for the conditioned souls, and not Lord Krishna, because he descended to establish the principles of religion, he followed the prescribed rules. Otherwise, common men would follow in his footsteps, because he is the greatest authority. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is understood that Lord Krishna was performing all the religious duties at home and out of home, as required of a householder. Translation: For if I ever fail to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. We are reading this evening from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, entitled Karma Yoga, text number 23. Krishna is explaining to Arjuna and through his devotee to all the world the great necessity of everyone, whoever they may be, in performing their prescribed duties properly. Krishna is above and beyond all rules and regulations. He is the absolute truth. He is above the modes of material nature. He is completely pure. However, when Krishna descends into this world, he sets the proper example for all living beings to follow by very carefully following the rules according to prescribed duties. Lord Krishna, as the source of all incarnations, to show his supremacy, at times he followed all the conventional relative rules of this world, and at other times he followed rules, not rules, but he lived by higher principles. Sometimes people say that Krishna contradicts himself. It explains that here that he is acting in such a way that the world can follow. So people challenge, then why is it that Krishna was dancing with other people's wives in the middle of the night in Sri Vrindavan Dham? This was explained very nicely by one of our god brothers at Bamsivat, where the Ras Leela began, that actually a chaste woman, within the core of her heart, only thinks of her husband. That means the husband is always in the core of the heart. Krishna as the Paramatma is in the core of the heart of every living being. So therefore, in reality, Krishna is the true husband of everyone. So the question is not, why was Krishna dancing with other wives? The question is, why are you dancing with somebody else's wife? Everyone is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So Krishna performed absolutely no activities of immorality, because he is the ultimate eternal husband of all living beings. And not only that, but Krishna may have appeared to sometimes steal, but Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, everything is the property of Krishna. Anything we're not giving to Krishna, we are stealing. So Krishna sometimes in his Leela would demonstrate his completely, supremely transcendental position. But at other times, he would act like a common man just to show common men how to act. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam that one should never ever try to imitate a great personality, but one should follow the instructions of a great personality. Just as Lord Shiva, he was a very great personality. So sometimes we find that Shivites, they smoke ganja. And they say, because we are worshipping Shiva, he is doing like this, we are doing like this. So the Shastra explains that if you want to imitate Lord Shiva, then you drink the ocean of poison. If you cannot do that, don't try to imitate him. If you want to imitate Krishna in dancing with gopis, then first you lift a Govardhan hill with the little finger of your left hand and hold it up for 7 days and 7 nights. Krishna danced with gopis when he was 8 years old. He lifted Govardhan hill when he was 7 years old. So he established his supreme position first. So we cannot imitate great souls. But great personalities behave in such a way just to set the proper standard for others to live by. This is called acharya. One who teaches by example. Krishna is telling Arjuna that you should fight this war because you are kshatriya. It is your prescribed duty. And it is also according to your nature. You should not avoid it. One should perform one's duties in this world very attentively and carefully. Otherwise, sin will come upon us. And Krishna is explaining, even I perform my prescribed duties. If I did not perform my prescribed duties properly, all the world would follow my path. Thus we read in the fifth canto that one has no right to be a mother, a father, a teacher, a guru, a worshipable demigod, if one cannot deliver one's dependence from the cycle of birth and death. And how do we deliver our dependence? By our example. We have now control over the independent free will of another. But our services, by our example, we must show them the right path. What a tremendous responsibility it is for a parent to have children. People do not consider this. When you have children, you are a sinful person that will be punished by the laws of nature if you don't live such a thoroughly exemplary God-conscious life, so you give your child the perfect opportunity in that environment of the home to decide to surrender to Krishna. That is true. There is the body, the mind, and the soul. Even if a parent gives the child all money, all nice clothes, all nice food, all sentimental types of love, if the parent is not living very pure God-conscious life within the home, they are showing cruelty to the soul of that child. They are acting immorally from the spiritual point of view. The cause of all suffering is that we are embedded by the illusion, the ignorance, that I am this body and I am the enjoyer. So we may give nice education, nice prasad, nice food, nice clothing, nice housing, all sorts of affection. But if it's infatuating that person, that child, under the illusion that I am this body and I am the enjoyer, you're performing cruelty to that child's eternal soul. And who is the child? The eternal soul. So therefore, it is very, very important that everyone understands what is their responsibilities according to their particular status in life. And one should perform those activities very conscientiously according to the will of Krishna. Within the Varnashram system, the grihastha has a very particular type of duty that must be performed. The brahmachari, the sannyasi, vanaprastha also. But this also carries on to one's particular duty. Arjuna was a warrior. Krishna expected Arjuna to fight with full attention. He was properly trained by Sripad Dronacharya in the military arts. What he had learned so meticulously, Krishna wanted him to use it all in a spirit of devotion and detachment in his occupational duty of fighting. It is explained in Gita that if one does not perform one's duty, that is sinful. And if one performs it with the wrong motivation, that is also sinful. Bhagavad Gita is a scripture for all classes of men and women in this world. Whatever you may be doing in your occupation, you have to understand what is your duty in how to perform it. Here in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we have nurses, doctors, managers, administrators, people who are cleaning, people who are receptionists, drivers, cooks, so many fields of activity within this hospital. And you can all perfect your lives by performing your duties according to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. The first thing is it should be done in a spirit of devotion, with the consciousness that Krishna is the enjoyer of my activities. I am not the enjoyer. If we think that we are the enjoyer of our activities, we become entangled in our own mental concoctions. This is very dangerous. Sometimes even devotees who are very sincere, if they are inattentive on this subject, there is a great mishap in their spiritual lives. We have seen devotees who have tremendous ambition to want to do something for Krishna, even under the order of the spiritual master, and perform great austerities, then the results start coming. When you perform austerities, results come. Then when the results start coming, there's all sorts of recognition, glorification, many, many facilities and benefits for comforts. And then you start thinking, how wonderful I have done it. And then rather than offering the fruits of your activities for the pleasure of Krishna, you begin to enjoy the fruits of your activities. And when you start doing that, you become proud. When somebody is too proud, inevitably he starts thinking that I have the right, the authority to judge others. Then you make aparads or offenses. After making aparads, Krishna is no longer pleased with anything you've done. Then he just steals away your intelligence. And then you lose. You may gain the world, but you lose Krishna. When we lose Krishna, we lose the purpose of life. On the other hand, other people, they may perform their work very much in a spirit of devotion, but then the results are so terrible that they become despondent. They give up all their enthusiasm. They also lose Krishna. What Bhagavad Gita is teaching is do not be attached to success or failure. Do not be attached to praise or blame, victory or defeat. You perform your duty for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna is pleased by your intentions, by your willingness to sacrifice in the spirit of service, not in the spirit of enjoying. The difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness is exploitation and service. Material consciousness is, I am the enjoyer. I will earn glorification. I will earn the right to enjoy through my mind and senses. If that is our motive, that is material. Whatever name you say, it is material. And when we perform our work in a spirit of service, service means for the pleasure of someone other than myself. Service means bhakti, for the service of God. That is how we must analyze our own hearts. Not by what we do, but what is the consciousness in which we do it. Now, if you are performing your duty for the service and the pleasure of God, how will you do that duty? Not according to your own whims. If Krishna was to come to personally see what you're doing and accept it, how carefully you would do. Just like a housewife is cleaning the house. If she knew, what if you received a message that the Prime Minister of India is coming to your house today at 12 o'clock? Hare Krishna. Many of you would clean your house very nicely, very special. And if somebody says, why are you working so hard to clean your house? You would say, because the Prime Minister is coming. But what is a prime minister? Prime minister is a little position in comparison to the supreme absolute truth, Krishna. But everything we're doing it for Krishna. How conscious we should be, how careful we should be, how expert we should be. Whether you are a little spider or whether you are a big, big Hanuman, we have to work according to our capacity for the pleasure of the Lord. That is bhakti. That is devotional service in action. If you're cooking, don't just sloppily put things together to get it done, because Krishna is going to eat it. Hare Krishna. Or at least, maybe he won't eat it if you do like that. We should be very, very conscious that this is going to be offered to the Lord. And my spiritual life depends on what consciousness I prepare it. Krishna consciousness is not something theoretical. It is practical. Real devotion is expressed by the capacity in which we put our energy and intelligence into whatever we do. If a guest comes to your house and you go so much out of your way to make that guest happy by doing all big things and little things, that person is so pleased. He'll never forget the visit to your house throughout life. However, if we are negligent, ignoring, if we have so many other preoccupations, that person will not feel satisfaction. So this is Krishna consciousness. Whatever we are doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. If you are a student, you should be the best student on the planet Earth for Krishna. Not haphazard studies. If you are a doctor, you should perform your work so consciously to put your heart and soul in doing it well for the service of Krishna. And whatever fruits come, offer it to Krishna. If you are a mother, if you are a father, whatever you may be, brahmachari, whatever service you're doing should be done with the utmost efficiency, the utmost consciousness that it is being offered to the Supreme Lord. And it is this type of attention that makes Krishna consciousness blissful to follow. Krishna reciprocates with how you approach him. If you approach Krishna through our service negligently, half-heartedly, Krishna will give you no taste for that service. But if you put your full energy, your full intelligence, all your physical, mental, and spiritual powers into doing it nicely, Krishna reciprocates, and that service is a source of great joy for your soul. You actually feel Krishna's presence. This is important. This is how we should chant. This is how we should dance. This is how we should read and hear. This is how we should serve the devotees. This is the way we should keep our homes. This is the way we should perform our occupations. In a way that Krishna will reciprocate. This is what Krishna is telling Arjuna. After Arjuna heard the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, no one could fight greater than him. because he put his life and soul into doing it. He put all his intelligence into doing it perfectly because it was for Krishna. And each and every one of us are leaders on some level within our life. Krishna, he explains in this verse, if I ever fail to engage carefully in performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. Srila Prabhupada describes in this purport when Krishna was living in Dwarka, what a perfect example of a householder he was. Only out of mercy did he set this example. He would rise early in the morning. It is described his queens were not very happy about this because they wanted to be with him as long as possible. But as soon as the rooster crowed in the morning, which is the sign that the Brahma Muhurta is coming, Krishna would immediately get up and he would take his bath and he would perform his sadhana. He would meditate. He would meditate on himself because he is the Supreme Lord. You should not meditate on yourself. You should meditate on... Krishna meditated on Krishna to teach you that you should meditate on Krishna. It's like that. And after performing all of his meditation and his sadhana, then he would give charity to the Brahmins and he would give charity to the poor people. Then he would see his family very nicely and express his affection for all of them. And later on he would go to his particular work. He was living in 16,108 palaces. And in each and every one of them he would perform all of these prescribed duties for the Brahma Muhurta hour. Then he would go to the Sudharma, the assembly house, and very carefully help to run the state of Dwarka. Krishna wanted to exhibit the duties of every grihastha. To rise early in the morning, to immediately clean one's body and clean one's mind. In this age of Kali Yuga, the greatest of all forms of meditation is the chanting of the holy names. After rising, we should take our bath. We should go to a sanctified, clean place. If at all possible, we should go to the temple itself to be amongst other devotees. Otherwise, within the temple of our home, we should sing the glories of the Lord. We should chant the names of the Lord, absorb ourselves in the beautiful philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam, fill our consciousness with the spirit of service and devotion. Then we go to our prescribed duties, whatever they may be, and we perform it very attentively, very conscientiously. Just today I was answering some of my mail, and one young lady, she wrote to me from America. She was saying all the nice things that were going on where she was living in Krishna consciousness. And she explained how one of her services is to drive the ashram's van for various duties to be performed. So one day she forgot to put any water in the radiator of the van. So the engine blew up
Hare Krishna.
And then the next day after that, she was driving and she was talking to someone as she was driving and she crashed. And the big crash in the van. So she was feeling very, very sad. That am I a servant or am I a burden? The property of Krishna, I'm destroying it all. So she felt very bad. But actually, we should learn from our mistakes. When we make a mistake, we should really make a great resolution in our heart never to do anything like this again. So in other words, this person was performing service, but inattentively. Your service is to drive, you drive. When you're driving, your service isn't to talk. If you can talk and keep full attention, then that's all right. But if your talking is taking your attention away, then you're doing a disservice. And what is the result? So much loss of Krishna's property. Srila Prabhupada was very, very careful to make sure whatever is Krishna's property that we are using must be carefully, carefully protected in our service. We should respect. This is spiritual consciousness. Sometimes, in a very immature state of consciousness, a devotee thinks that I'm transcendental to all these material considerations. But this is not the true understanding of bhakti. If you are aware that this is Krishna's property, and I am meant to be pushing something, pushing forward the mission that I represent in my service, then you have to be very, very conscientious and attentive. Arjuna was the greatest warrior. Why? Because he had the greatest desire to perform his work for the pleasure of Krishna. And this should be the standard that all of us set in our lives. Our sadhana should be very attentive and conscious. Our service to our family should be very, very attentive and conscious. Our particular occupational work should be very attentive and conscious. As an offering to Krishna, that will be pleasing to Krishna. I am speaking on this subject, specifically on the order of Damodar Pandit Prabhu, who asked me to speak on this subject tonight of how efficiency is critical in proper discharge of service to Lord Krishna. What is the meaning of efficiency? It means to do everything we do at every moment in our life the best possible way within our human capacity. Krishna is judging us from within. Sometimes Prabhupada would say, Krishna doesn't see how much you give. Krishna sees how much you're holding back. A poor person may give 1 rupee. That's all that person has. A rich person may have 20 crores of rupees and gives 1 crore. Who is Krishna more pleased by? The 1 rupee of the person who gave everything? or the one crore who has given just a part. Krishna doesn't see how much you give, he sees how much you're holding back. This means also our intelligence and our abilities. One of the 25 qualities of a devotee is he is expert in everything. Yes? What does it mean? Is it 25 qualities? 26 qualities. One of the 26 qualities of a devotee is that that person is expert in everything. How many people do you know are expert in everything? Hare Krishna. But expert doesn't mean that you are the best at everything you do in a worldly sense. But it means you are so conscientious to do everything you do as best you can. That is expertise. And a devotee, everything that devotee does, he's expert. At New Vrindavan, there was a wonderful devotee named Kuladri Prabhu. He was the president for some time. And when he would cook, he would put so much attention and care. He would learn so nicely before, and he would just cook so nicely for Srila Prabhupada. When he was going to massage Srila Prabhupada, he just learned from whoever he could how to do it, and he just put his heart and soul in massage Prabhupada so nicely. When he wanted to paint a picture for Prabhupada, he just put so much attention and care into making a painting and presenting it to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada would often say, Kuladri is expert at everything. When Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, he was offered a samosa. He said, who made this samosa? They said it was Kulaji. Oh, yes, he is expert at everything. There was a painting in his room. Who made this painting? This is Kulaji. Oh, yes, he is expert at everything. There was a magazine called Brijabasi Spirit, and the cover of one of the publications, Kuladri was doing a fire yajna, and that magazine was sent to India, and Srila Prabhupada saw it, and he looked at the cover. He says, oh, Kuladri is doing fire yajna. He is expert at everything. Because he was just so sincere to do everything he did the best he possibly could for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. So we should strive to be expert at everything we do. This is Krishna consciousness. Expert in our chanting, expert in our bathing, expert in putting on our clothes, expert in putting on our tilak, expert in everything. Expert at raising our families, expert at eating prasad. That means not too much and not too little. When we cook, we should do it expertly. If a mother really puts her heart and soul into cooking for her family, her whole family will be happy. They will reciprocate naturally. Of course, first it is offered to Krishna. And the father, expert in his work, expert when he comes home and whatever we do. So we should strive for perfection at every moment in our life. By doing whatever we're doing in a spirit of pleasing Krishna. That is the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. We are not doing it expertly for our own glorification, for our own position, for the benefits that may come. We are doing everything wholeheartedly because this is my connection to Krishna. And Krishna says, as you approach me, I reward you accordingly. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
One can become expert in his service if he is properly trained for it. But suppose if you are put into a service where you are not properly trained for that, then how do we become expert in that?
You be eager to learn according to your capacity. You be eager to learn. I remember, I'm not an example because I'm not expert at anything, but I remember when I was asked to be a pujari. I didn't know what a pujari was. But somehow or other I had to learn everything within one day because I was milking cows and then the pujari left. So they said, will you be the pujari? So I said, I'll try if that's what you want. So I just started reading the books and asking other pujaris, what? And they didn't have much time, but I tried. So then I was pujari, plus I was milking cows. Then a few weeks later, the cook left. Deities were getting 6 offerings, 6 artis every day. And every offering was between 5 and 15 preparations. 6 a day. I still remember everything. Should I say? The morning offering was burfi, pera, sandesh, rasgullas, sweet rice, kheer, condensed milk. Hare Krishna. That was the Mangal Arati offering. Then the breakfast offering was parathas covered with powdered sugar and malpurs and pera and hot milk with sugar in it. Then the lunch offering was 3 sabjis, dal, rice, chapatis, chutney, pakoras, and laddus. And then the noon offering was cake and something else. I mean, the afternoon offering, the 6 o'clock offering was puris, 2 sabjis, samosas, and chutney. So like that. And I never cooked anything in my whole life when I was in India. I just did madhu curry. Actually, when I was in high school, I was the assistant cook in a big hospital. A 450-bed hospital. But what we cooked there, you cannot cook for Krishna. It's not possible. So I didn't know anything. And the cook was gone. And they said, now you have to not only milk the cows, do all the puja, but you have to do all the cooking until we can find another cook. So I said, I don't know how to cook. So they sent one devotee up for one day to cook all the offerings. And I was just taking notes every, because I never used a spice In America, before you're a devotee, there's only two spices, salt and pepper. There's no such, nobody ever tasted any other spice than that. Good cook. He said, I can only come up this one day as a favor. And it was a little, it was in a basement, very dark place. And it was all wood. The stoves were just holes with a little chamber under it, and you'd put wood in and it would be by fire. There was no gas or electricity. So it was so smoking, you could hardly see, but I just looking, taking notes. Then he left. Then I had to do everything. I wasn't at all expert. But somehow or other, if we're eager to learn and we're eager to really put our heart and soul in making it as good as we possibly can, then it's amazing how Krishna makes everything so nice. Hari Bol. So, your question is, what if you're asked to do a service but you've never been trained in it? How can you be expert? By putting your heart and soul into doing it the best you can. Honestly. You'll be seeking to learn. You'll be striving to learn. You'll be asking anybody who knows, how can I improve my service? A devotee's sincerity is they're always trying to find newer and newer ways to improve their service. When we become proud, we think, I have perfected my service. But this is not Vaishnavism. We should always be looking for someone who can tell us how to do it better. Always trying to find somebody who knows something more than what I know, so I can add that to my service to the Lord. And that eagerness is the source of real expertise. Does that answer your question?
Also, we see generally the spiritual masters put their disciples in services where their aptitude is and where their tendencies and desires are. So that they are naturally engaged in the most wonderful way, in blissful way to serve Krishna.
So is that a question?
How does that match with this situation of where we are not trained for our services and we are eager to learn and at one situation we are in our natural propensities serving blissfully, naturally to Krishna. So how do we understand the contradiction?
Your natural propensity is to surrender to Krishna. That is your eternal spiritual nature. Of course, as far as possible, it is the expertise of any manager to try to engage a person according to where they will both most be inspired to serve. But at the same time, there is many things that have to be done everywhere. The housewife, it may not be her propensity to clean the toilets or change, it may not be the husband's propensity to change the diapers of the baby. Yes? You may say, that is my wife's propensity. But if the wife goes out to visit her friends and she says, watch the baby, and the baby happens to do what babies do, you can't say, this is not my propensity. Let the baby suffer. You'll somehow or other call up someone and say, how do I do it? And you'll do it. So we shouldn't be so attached to our propensities. we should be attached to how we could best serve. That is the spirit of devotion. Do you understand? What do you want? I'm sorry for my crude examples, but I am sometimes quite crude in my heart. Is there any other questions?
Maharaj, you explained that we have to be expert in everything, whatever we do. But out of expertise, the praise also comes, and that is followed by a pride. Now, how do we counteract to become expert in the...
We should be expert in being humble. Actual expertise means to be Krishna conscious. To think that one is the cause of the result of one's activities is ignorance. To understand that Krishna is the source of all my abilities, all my intelligence, everything. And because I'm trying hard, he's giving me the abilities. It is his mercy. We should give all glory to Krishna. We should give all glories to those kind representatives of Krishna who are giving me the strength to perform my service. That is actual expertise. Any other questions?
Sometimes you put your heart into the service to great extent, and somehow with service you fail in doing the service nicely, expertly, and then you start getting depressed because you tried your best but still the service never occurred the way it should have occurred. So how do a devotee come over that kind of depression after putting his whole heart and efforts, he fails?
First thing is we should examine, did I really do everything I could do to perform this service properly? We should really be striving to improve ourselves always. However good we may be, we should always be striving to improve ourselves. That is the nature of humility also. We should never think that I have done enough. Krishna is so great and so wonderful. How can we ever do our service good enough for Krishna? And if we honestly are very earnest in our attempts, and the result is not materially successful, we should understand philosophically that our real success is pleasing Krishna. Our real success is not getting material results. Krishna is pleased if we have performed our service for his pleasure with our hearts, with all of our energy, in Krishna consciousness. Krishna explains, do not be attached to success or failure. Arjuna, he made a vow to a Brahmin that I will protect your son from dying, because all of his sons were dying one after another. Arjuna vowed, I will protect your son from dying. And he stood with his Gandiva bow at the maternity ward of that Brahmin's wife to make sure death could not come in. But the son died. So even Arjuna, materially, beyond his control, he failed. But Krishna was pleased with him. Ultimately, Krishna himself told Arjuna, get on my chariot, we'll find that son wherever he may be. He took him beyond the cosmic manifestation to where Mahavishnu was. Mahavishnu kidnapped the child. When Mahavishnu saw Arjuna, he said, I took the child just because I wanted to have the darshan of Krishna. Here is the child. So there are many levels of understanding the message of this story, but one is, whoever you are, you will never always be successful by material standards. But if you are doing it in Krishna consciousness, you are a success. As a doctor, however expert a doctor is, however good the medicines are, patients will die. It is beyond your control. We cannot be attached to results. We are attached to the mood of service. That's all. So why should we be despondent? If we're despondent, that means we're more attached to the material ego that I'm getting from it than I am to the service for the pleasure of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada tried in so many ways to spread Krishna consciousness for so many years. There was no results. For decades. But he was never the slightest bit discouraged. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when his preachers came and said, we advertise so much for this preaching program, nobody came. There was only 2-3 people that showed up in a hall that was big enough for thousands. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, oh, 2-3 people, very good. You preach to 2 or 3 people, this is very nice. If no one comes, then you preach to the walls with full enthusiasm. When his brahmacharis would go out to distribute magazines, if someone would come back with 10 paisa after distributing only one magazine, after a whole day of trying, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he knew that this person went out and tried with all of his strength all day long, one magazine. He would praise that devotee. Wonderful, excellent service. You distributed a magazine. You brought back 10 paisa. Thank you very much. If a person distributed 1,000 magazines, he was just as happy with that person who did one. So we should never be discouraged. We should all, as long as we're genuinely, honestly trying to do what we can and trying to improve at every moment, then why will we be discouraged? We're pleasing Krishna. You will make no spiritual advance. There are so many materialistic people who are doing so many wonderful, wonderful, big, big, successful things on the material plane. But what are they getting from it? No mercy of God. We are not concerned. The spider kicked some sand and Hanuman lifted mountains. But for Ram it was the same. They were both doing what they can. So no, we should never be discouraged. For chanting sincerely, for hearing Bhagavatam sincerely, for associating with devotees nicely, we understand what is our purpose. May we keep trying. Is there any other questions? Yes. And in this world, whoever you are, you will be condemned somewhere along the line in your life. It's just the nature of the world. Someone will be there to throw stones on you. If you do everything so expertly, someone will be there to blame you. If you give your heart, your soul, your everything to do everything so nicely, if you make one mistake, the world will be at your throat to strangle you. That's the world we live in. Does any of you have that experience? You can please some of the people some of the time. You cannot please all the people all of the time. We try so hard to please someone, but someone will be there to say, "What nonsense you have done." So ultimately, we have to just have proper integrity. That what I'm doing, I am not perfect, but I'm trying my level best to do it in a way that Krishna will be pleased. That is our success. Hare Krishna.